Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala rasulihi al-karim. Amma ba'd. Next chapter is on taqlid. Taqlid refers to a person having trust on a knowledgeable person and practicing on his view without asking for any proof. This law of taqlid is found in the Quran and many ahadith. Taqlid is implemented in those matters in which there is no clear ruling in the Quran and Sunnah, or there is difficulty in understanding its meaning. These verses can have more than one meaning. There is ambiguity or brevity in the meaning. They are outwardly conflicting hadith or verses of the Quran or hadith. The object of taqlid is that in those matters in which there are different manners of practicing, is to choose one path, trusting on the understanding and opinion of a pious scholar who had devoted his life to understanding Islamic concepts, instead of preferring one's personal opinion. It is obvious that this is much more precautious and correct. The knowledge, understanding, piety and intelligence of the great Imams, as well as being in close proximity to the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are such qualities which were not found to that extent in latter times, and more so today. The amount of trust which can be placed on them cannot be placed on people who came later, as well as on oneself. The object of taqlid is only to follow the Quran and Sunnah. The only being worthy of being obeyed is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We follow the Anbiya alayhim as-salam because it is Allah's command, and because they convey to us the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mujtahid is followed because he is explaining to us in detail the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which he has extracted from the Quran and Sunnah. The mujtahid is that ma'asum, sinless, and he can make an error. For his error he will receive one reward, and for his correct ruling he will receive two rewards. It is compulsory for a person who has not reached the level of ijtihad to follow a mujtahid. In the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, there were two types of taqlid. Taqlid al-mutlaq, where people would ask any reputable scholar regarding any religious problem they faced. And the second, taqlid al-shakhsi, people would refer to only one scholar for all their religious questions. As time went on, the first form was abandoned, as people would go to different scholars asking for rulings until they found one which suited themselves. They would follow the easiest view, which conformed to their own desires, which in reality is not following the Sharia. For this reason, from the 2nd century onwards, all the people began following one specified person. Many mujtahids lived in the past, but in today's time, only one of four Imams are followed. Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahumullah. The reason for this is that only these four Imams' mazhabs were preserved in totality, and that there were many of their students who taught people according to that mazhab. Since the other mujtahids' works are not compiled, nor are there ulama who can teach according to their mazhab, one must follow one of the above four Imams. Speaking ill of the great Imams, referring to taqlid as shirk, and trying to understand the Quran and the hadith on one's own without having the ability of ijtihad will expel a person from the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaat. For the past 1200 years, Muslims of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaat throughout the world followed one of the four Imams. Many groups of people who abandoned taqlid eventually became completely misguided and irreligious, due to which many of them finally deserted from Islam. All the four mazhabs are correct, as they spring from the Quran and Sunnah. Their rulings are based on the Quran and Ahadith, personal and individual opinion having no share in their formulation. Their founders are men of highest Islamic caliber. The ustaz of some of the Imams were the Sahaba and Tabi'in. Taqlid is not something new to Islam. Without the guidance and explanation of the Sharia offered by these great servants of Islam, it is not possible to follow the teachings of Islam. Taqlid is the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, which they handed over to the fuqaha, the jurists, which was then transmitted authoritatively and authentically from generation to generation until it reached us. In this way it will be transmitted till the day of Qiyamah, inshaAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding. Last night in the Taraweeh Salah, the 21st para was recited. As we were doing in the 20th para in Surah An-Kabut, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the people who are following those besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The example of it is like a spider's web, which is extremely weak and can do nothing at all, and very easy to break a spider's web. So those who have their ta'alluq and connection with anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what they are holding on to is extremely weak and extremely feeble. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us that if you want to build up our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what should a person do? So Allah ta'ala says, أُتْلُ مَا أُوحِي إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةِ. Make tilawat of the Qur'an Sharif. By reading Qur'an, a person's connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is built up. And together with this, establish salah. Perform salah with perfection. Because remember, salah will prevent a person from all kinds of immorality and evil and harm. And sins are our greatest enemy, which turns a person away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, destroys a person. But one easy way to come out of sin is to create perfection in a person's salah. The more perfection there is in one salah, the more a person will be able to come out of sin and guna, and his connection with Allah ta'ala will become stronger. To get this perfection in salah, wala dhikrullahi akbar. The dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the greatest means, is the greatest thing that connection is built up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will also help a person to get perfection in his tilawat of Quran and in his salah also. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this thought must come into a person by making the dhikr of Allah ta'ala. Wallahu ya'alamu ma tasna'un. Allah is fully aware exactly of what actions a person does in his life. So to make this muraqabah, to this pondering, now realizing that Allah is watching me, Allah knows everything, and this also will come through the barakat and blessings of dhikr, that a person will get this conviction in his heart. Hazrat Mawlana Shawali Thani rahmatullahi says that from this ayat, in the night of Qadr comes, these are three amal which a person should do throughout the night of Qadr. He says many people only confine themselves to dhikr, but tilawat of Quran Sharif is one of the greatest ibadat, performing of salah in that night, and the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which includes dua and all kinds of dhikr. And Hazrat mentioned that one first thing which comes out from this ayat also is Wallahu ya'alamu ma tasna'un, to make muraqabah, to ponder about Allah's favors, Allah's kindness upon us, our gunas and our sins, and how can a person come out of that. So anyhow, this ayat very beautifully shows us what amal must be done on the night of Qadr, which in the next the odd night inshallah will be coming. These are the actions which a person should put himself fully into and do these actions. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the people who got no connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will come and fight with you. So do not argue and fight with these people unless you explain it to them in a beautiful way. And some of the doubts they have got about the Quran, they are not prepared to accept it. Whereas the Quran is a great miracle. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an ummi person, unlettered person. And how the whole Quran Sharif has given to us 848 pages of what ulum and knowledge. So there is no doubt a person can have in the Quran Sharif. And actually another clear miracle, it's ayatun bayyinatun fi suduril ladina utul ilm. It's not even only written out, but it's actually in the hearts of people who have been granted knowledge. What a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And bring any other book in the world, even one page, if the followers have them memorized that. Whereas every single Muslim person, minimum, he knows Surah Fatiha, he knows a few surahs. It's in the heart of that person. You ask a Christian person, how much do you know of the Bible? Can you read one page or two pages? He won't be able to do so. But this is the barakat and blessings of the Quran Sharif. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the Quran Sharif. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that for when the forces of batil come and falsehood come, two important amal and actions, one is jihad, and the other one is sometimes a person to build up this relationship with Allah ta'ala, he has to make hijrat, he has to leave his home. But automatically when a person is leaving his home, he's frightened of what will happen thereafter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember, my earth is very wide. Worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regarding death, you all have to pass away one day. You have to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the earth, while you leave his house in this world, Allah will build for you in Jannah. Huge palaces and lands Allah will give to a person. This is the reward for those people who will do good actions. And if you are worried about your Rosian sustenance, there are many animals in the world which I cannot carry and bear its own sustenance. Allah grants you sustenance and Allah grants you sustenance. And Allah is hearing everything, Allah knows everything. And remember, this worldly life, illa lahu wa la'ib. It is only a pastime and a play and amusement. But the actual life is the life of the year after. And when Allah is the one, you ask him, who sends down rain? It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is sending down rain to one country, why wouldn't Allah ta'ala send it to another country and send your rosy and sustenance there? This is all within the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends of this surah mentioning the وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا. In the path of Allah, a person who strives, who sacrifices, Allah says, you will definitely guide that person onto the right path. he will be on the, and Allah will open up many, many doors of hidayat and guidance for such people. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ The condition is the person must have ikhlas and sincerity, and Allah will be with such a person. When a person will make jihad, he will make hijrat, then the next surah is Surah Ar-Rum, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions ghalba, Allah gives dominance to the people of Iman and Islam. And those who have got their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the beginning Allah mentions about people who were right down, the Romans in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were against the Persian people, and it seemed like they were completely destroyed, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says within 10 years they will get dominance again. Allah wanted to show that He's got full power, and Allah ta'ala can give dominance to whomsoever He wants to in the world. And on the same day when they will get dominance, the people of Iman also will get dominance. This was the time when the Muslims were living in Makkah Mukarramah, and they were completely downtrodden. They had no power at all. They were oppressed in whatever, in every way. The command was given, don't make jihad, don't retaliate, just make sabr. Allah says, no, a time will come, and Allah's help will come to you, and the believers will be happy. And this happened in the Battle of Badr, where Allah's help and assistance came. The same days that the Romans completely overpowered and dominated the Persians, the Muslims overpowered the Kuffar in the Battle of Badr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is the help of Allah ta'ala, Allah helps whosoever He wants to. This is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will not go against His promise. Allah's help will come with the people of Iman. It is that most people unfortunately do not know. They only know the outward of this worldly life. Outward means they only look at asbab and means, and they do not look at the realities, the power and the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are completely unmindful of that. They do not know about that. And regarding the akhirat also, the ghafilun, they are completely unmindful. They are only looking at the worldly things and a few outward things of this worldly life. And that their whole object of everything is this worldly life. So whether it's the armies also, they are fighting, they are thinking we've got our weapons and we can dominate. Allah says they do not know the qudrat and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or whether it's people who are studying in the universities and the colleges and all of these things, they are only learning about this dunya and the things of this worldly life. But regarding akhirat, Allah says a little bit they know of this year. But the actual knowledge is the knowledge of akhirat, the life of the year after. People are completely unmindful of that. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that if you travel in the earth, you will see how the result of many people before them, much, much, much stronger, and what legacies they had left in the world. But they are completely, Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam came to them with clear proofs. They were not prepared to accept, eventually they were destroyed. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in great detail mentions signs of His qudrat. And when Allah has got such qudrat in this world, from sand Allah can create you. And the sand is something which is heavy, supposed to be on the ground, it can't move. But suddenly you are human beings, and you are traveling around the whole world, and you are moving around. Isn't this a sign of Allah's qudrat and power? Allah created from yourselves, your partners, so you can live with sukoon. The object of marriage is to get sukoon, comfort, peace in a house. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who creates between you love and mercy. And Allah is the one who puts love and mercy between the hearts of the husband and wife. One hadith comes, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when two people have problems, they got love amongst one another, and then they have problems, it's because of a guna and a sin which one of the two of them have committed. So because of our sins, then Allah removes that love and mercy amongst the people. So today many people say we've got no love in our marriage. Many times it's because of certain gunas one of the two of them has committed, and that is why that love is removed. Allahumma alif bayna qulubina. As the Mawlana Abdul Sahib, down barakatun, says in today's time we should read this dua in great abundance. That, oh Allah, unite our hearts, especially between husband and wife. Allahumma keep our hearts united always. It's a long dua, but the beginning part of the dua is Allahumma alif bayna qulubina. That, oh Allah, unite our hearts. Allah, other signs Allah mentions, that Allah created the heavens and the earth, and the differences in our language, in our colors. Allah gave us sleep at night and in the daytime also. And Allah allows a person to go out and seek his rozi in the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us the lightning, the thunder. Allah sends down the rain. All of this are clear signs, and how the whole earth and the heavens are kept in place by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will just call people and they will all come out. And Allah has got so much of qudrat and power. Can Allah ta'ala grant dominance to the people of Iman and Islam? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that there are certain usools and principles which people will have to follow if they want this dominance. One is munibina ilayya aqim wajhaka li dini hanifa. Hold firm unto the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the deen of Allah ta'ala is according to your fitrat and the nature of man, to worship one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to follow the pure path of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, to prepare for the life of the year after. This is part of our nature Allah created man upon. And make inabat, turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. Have taqwa and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Establish salah. وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ Do not be amongst the mushrikeen, the idolaters. Do not follow their path. And spend your wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَ حَقَّهُ وَالْمِسْكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ Fulfill the rights of human beings. All of these, do not take riba, do not take interest. This will destroy you, but give your zakat in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will increase and Allah will grant a person much, much more. When a person will follow these usools and principles, then Allah will give ghalba and Allah will give dominance to the Muslim people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because of our sins and gunas, zahar al-fasad, today so much of fasad and corruption, whether it is epidemics, whether it is floods, whether it is whatever things are happening on the earth and in the land and in the oceans, bima kasabat aydin nas, because of the actions of what man has earned. And Allah says, لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا. So Allah can make them taste some of what they have done. Not everything, also just some of what they have done. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرَجِعُونَ. And when these conditions come down, the object is, so we can make ruju and we can turn our attention back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down these conditions upon us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends off this surah mentioning, Allah is the one who created you from weakness. After weakness, Allah gave you strength. And after strength again, Allah ta'ala makes a person weak. Allah ta'ala creates a person how he wants to. He has got full power. And Allah has got full knowledge of everything. From here, ulama say that see, Allah gives dominance also. Sometimes Islam, the Muslims are weak. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after weakness, can give them strength. And after strength, if we will not obey Allah's command and follow the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah ta'ala can make a person again go back to towards weakness. And Allah ta'ala can destroy as he wants to. This is all within the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next surah is Surah Al-Luqman. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the qualities of the muhsineen, those who got ikhlas, sincerity, who do good actions, performing of salah, giving of zakat, having yaqeen in the akhirat, in the life of the year after. But on the other hand, there is a second group of people, may yashtari lahu al-hadith, they will buy speech which is futile. And there are many, many meanings, whether it comes to some ulama say novels, it's speech which is lahu, means which turns the person's attention away from important things, akhirat, the life of the year after. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person's salah. So any speech which will turn a person's attention away, storytelling, people sitting in groups, the whole night they are sitting and talking, this happened in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lahu al-hadith, then buying novels and books. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was one person who used to bring a singing girl, come and amuse all the people, turn their attention away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today is by means of television. When Abu al-Hasan al-Nabi rahmatullah alayhi says, he says in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they couldn't have understood the concept of TV. But what a word Allah is using in the Quran, lahu al-hadith, such speech which will make the person unmindful. He said there is nothing, how beautifully Allah has used this word in the Quran, which definitely affects on the word, the television. In today's time, the cell phone, the smartphone, is also lahu al-hadith. It makes a person completely ghafil, unmindful. People are spending 3 hours, 4 hours a day on the smartphone, and it's turning a person away. Yudhilla an sabilillahi bighayri ilm. A person himself is going away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or is misguiding others by sending out messages and turning other people's attention away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says the opposite of this is tilawat of Quran. When the ayat of the Quran are read to them, then these people turn away as they never heard it, as if there's some bore in their ears, there's some weight in their ears, gives them the glad tidings of a very severe punishment. So the opposite of all of this futility is tilawat of Quran. If a person engages himself with Quran Sharif, with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he won't waste his time in all of these other futile things which will take a person away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person will hold firm onto the right path, have the amal in his life, then Allah will give him such hikmat, like how he had given to Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam. And one quality which Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam had was the quality of shukr, and he appreciated the ni'mat and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says a person will make shukr, will be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is only being grateful for himself. When you will make shukr, then Allah will definitely increase a person. And if you are ungrateful, Allah is completely independent, he doesn't need us. Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam is bringing his child up, and 5 beautiful advices Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam gave to his child. This is what every father is supposed to be imparting to his child. The first and most important thing is never to make shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to take partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, full tawheed in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, to have the yaqeen of akhirat, to have this yaqeen that Allah is watching me and I have to be, I'm answerable on the day of qiyamah. إن تكم إثقال حبة من خردل فتكن في صخرة أو في السماوات أو في الأرض يأتي بها الله. Allah will bring about every single point of ours, what we have done in our life. So we have to bring this into our children, into ourselves also, and into our children. And then, oh my beloved son, he gave his son advice, give, perform salah, command righteousness, prevent evil. And when you command righteousness and prevent evil, some people will cause harm to you, they will become upset with you, you have to have sabr at that time. So he explained to him, and then he showed him the akhlaq and character he must have. وَلَا تُسْوَعِرْ خَبْدَكَ لِلنَّاسِ. Don't show a sour face to the people. Don't walk on the earth with arrogance. And when how you walking, walk with moderation. and learn to lower your voice. Don't speak like an animal, like a donkey, how a donkey speaks in praise. Do not speak like this. So beautiful advice is Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam gave to his son. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after Luqman alayhi salam taught his son the tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala in between mentions, we have commanded human beings to be good to their parents. His mother made so much of sacrifice for him, and the whole objective is you must make shukr to Allah ta'ala and your parents, because we have to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If our parents command us to do wrong, don't obey them, but live with them in this world in a good and beautiful way. But follow the path of the pious people, the righteous people who are standing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma shabir rahmat Uthmani rahmatullah mentions an amazing point here. He says that when Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam taught his child the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught human beings the rights of parents. See, many parents say, my child is not following me, he's not listening to me. So he said, after he taught his child the rights of the parents, that how you must obey your parents, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself inspired the child that he himself must be kind to his parents, he must fulfill the rights of his parents. So this is the actual way that we will teach people the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rights of deen, and then that automatically in them will come the jazba and the feeling to serve their parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many other bounties of his, that Allah has given you so many bounties. Why aren't you worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can't you see that Allah has made whatever is in the heavens and the earth? He has placed it for your khidmat, for your service. وَأَسْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعَمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنَةً. Outward, inward bounties. Allah has showered them upon you people. What in what bounties Allah has given to you? So how can a person be ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Don't you see how Allah has made the night into the day and the day into the night? The sun and the moon are moving for your benefit, and they will continue till the day of Qiyamah. All the ships which are moving on the ocean with the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many, many signs for people to take lesson. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends of this surah mentioning that we are completely muftaj of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our knowledge is so weak. We are in need of rain. We do not know what we are going to do tomorrow. We are in need of our rosy and sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Death lies in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything lies in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can a person thereafter have ghurur and pride and arrogance over himself? We are completely muhtaj and in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these ayat, the last of the surah, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his complete knowledge, that man's knowledge is very limited, but the knowledge of Qiyamah, the knowledge of the rains coming down, the knowledge of what baby is inside the womb of the mother, will it be a child of with good akhlaq, good character, what kind of habit it will have, the thinking and mizaj of the child, all of that is known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What will a person earn tomorrow in this world? Which land a person will die, pass away? Allah is fully aware of everything. Man's knowledge is extremely limited. So therefore a person must build up his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever commands Allah has given us is only for our own benefit. The next surah is Surah Sajda. We are encouraged every night to read Surah Tabarakalladhi and Surah Sajda. And when a person will do so, he will get the reward of Laylatul Qadr every night. So Allah give us tawfiq that every night we try and read the surah. Surah Sajda is 4 pages. And Surah Tabarak is 4 pages also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the coming of the Quran Sharif, there is no doubt regarding it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you many physical bounties. So therefore Allah ta'ala has to give you the spiritual bounties to a greater extent, because you are completely in need of it. So the greatest spiritual bounty which Allah has given is the Quran Sharif. And there is no doubt in the Quran Sharif. So Allah has revealed it to you. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions certain people will follow the Quran Sharif and certain people won't follow the Quran. Those who do not follow it, they remember on the day of Qiyamah how they will be standing there to complete disgrace and embarrassment. But those who follow it, they accept the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They remove their sides from their beds at night in tahajjud namaz, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan in Taraweeh salah, and whatever wealth Allah has given them, they are spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As soon as the command of Allah comes, they immediately bow down and they accept the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ عَيُنٍ. No other person knows what enjoyment has been hidden for such a person in the year after, what and what bounties Allah has given to people. As Nakim Sahib rahmatullah says, that even though this is not a tafsir, but even in this world, Allah Ta'ala grants so much of enjoyment to a person who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even one buzruq doesn't know what enjoyment another buzruq and pious person is enjoying. Everyone Allah has kept a different kind of enjoyment in their heart. So this is the reward for the good actions which a person will do in this world. A person who has got iman within himself, who is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can he ever be like a person who is a fasiq, a disobedient person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Never. The people of iman, what levels they will get in Jannah. And the people of fisk and in evil, their final abode is the fire of Jahannam. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at the example of Musa alayhi salam, like how we have created the whole jamaat to follow Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. From your ummah also we will create many, many people who will follow, they will be on the right path. and some of them will be imams, and how they will become imams. لما صبروا وكانوا بآياتنا يوقنون. When they will have two qualities within them. One is the quality of sabr. Sabr means when the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, then they make sabr and they are patient and they are steadfast on the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second thing is وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. They have got complete yaqeen and conviction in the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the iman is complete, and the amal also is complete. When a person will have these two qualities, بِالسَّبَرِ وَالْيَقِينَ تُنَالُ الْإِمَامَةُ فِي الدِّينِ, a person will become an imam. Allah will accept him for the khidmat of deen. So these are the two qualities which a person has to bring within his life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends of the surah mentioning, you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you see the dead land, how Allah sends the water to it, and eventually it comes to life, when the Qur'an Sharif will come into the dead heart, and those people who are prepared to accept it, their hearts will become alive, and they will follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But certain people will not be prepared to accept. فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ. Don't worry about them, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Continue conveying your message, but do not become overly concerned, and wait, because they are also waiting, and eventually the decision of Allah ta'ala will come upon them, which is followed by Suratul Ahzab. Inshallah, we will discuss tomorrow how Allah's help and assistance will come to the Muslim people when they will hold firm unto the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true yaqeen, conviction in the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and give us tawfiq to follow all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as shown to us by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Muhammadu wa salli ala Rasulil Kareem, ma ba'd. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه مرفوعا قال إن لله تعالى سيارة من الملائكة يبتغون حلق الذكر فإذا مروا قال بعضهم لبعض اقعدوا فإذا دعا القوم أمنوا على دعائهم فإذا صلوا على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلوا معهم حتى يفرغوا ثم يقول بعضهم لبعض توبى لهم لا يرجعون إلا مغفورا لهم رواه ابن النجار. حضرت ابو ہریرہ رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ مرفوعا نقل فرماتے ہیں کہ اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی کے کتنے ہی فرشتے راستوں پر پھرتے ہیں اور ذکر کرنے والوں کے حلقے ڈھونڈتے ہیں. جب وہ ذکر کی مجلس کو پا لیتے ہیں تو ایک دوسرے کو پکارتے ہیں کہ بیٹھ جاؤ. پھر جب مجلس والے دعا کرتے ہیں تو یہ فرشتے ان کی دعاؤں پر آمین کہتے ہیں, اور جب درود شریف پڑھتے ہیں تو یہ بھی ان کے ساتھ درود شریف پڑھتے ہیں, اور پھر جب دعا سے فارغ ہو جاتے ہیں تو یہ فرشتے کہتے ہیں خوشخبری ہو ان لوگوں کے لیے کہ وہ بخشے بخشائے لوٹ رہے ہیں. حضرت ابو ہریرہ رضی اللہ عنہ narrates the following tradition. There are certain angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who roam around the earth searching for the gatherings of zikr. If they happen to pass by one, they call unto each other to come and participate. When the people complete their zikr and become engaged in dua, they say ameen to their dua. When the people send durood salutations upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the angels also send durood with them. When their gathering is about to terminate, the angels say to each other, glad tidings to these people, for they shall not return except with all their sins forgiven. Once again, Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates the following tradition. There are certain angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who roam around the earth searching for the gatherings of dhikr. If they happen to pass by one, they call unto each other to come and participate. When the people complete their dhikr and become engaged in dua, they say ameen to their dua. When the people send durood salutations upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the angels also send durood with them. When their gathering is about to terminate, the angels say to each other, glad tidings to these people, for they shall not return except with all their sins forgiven.